Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Global EcoTalk Show, the show will celebrate responsible community development and volunteer works in Africa, featuring your host is Eko Takashiba.
And I am Victoria Adelagat, I'm the co-host.
And I am Ibeng Ewama, I'm the sound engineer for this show.
I'm Shamba Shamsat, I'm a student at Ely University for Women in Bangladesh.
We are professionals, entrepreneurs, advocacy agents, and you for understanding difficult problems like poverty, violence, and global warming in Africa so that we may work towards betterment faster and more enjoyable.
I wish I could hope that I'm worrying for how much time and energy I can commit to working with the organization. And I don't know,
but I do not want to get too involved because I don't want to suffer and I don't know what to do.
Well, I think I personally want to get involved because Africa is my continent. I love Africa and I hate seeing people go through issues that bothers my heart, like suffering and HIV and all the rest, you know, issues that we have here in Africa. And so I think I do want to help it, make positive and good, as much as I can in my life.
If you feel that way, no problem. Our membership allows us to participate at any time, anywhere. We have people from around the world. Each member does what he or she can do, but they don't do what they don't want to. Doing things with passion is important, and it is also important to be appreciated.
I will participate and join. I can offer my professional help with the writing and editing the articles.
I would like to distribute, you know, to support in the area of community development. Get
more. I'm trying to get more people to know about me, and I think I'm wonderful enough and I can be part of it.
It is very important, but it's not by force. It's a pleasure to work with long competitions, backbiting, and politics. Would you not be excited to work online with other volunteers around the world? Suspicious email or computer files? No worry, the personal information is protected under any circumstances and all you need is to get it on with your page. Please visit our website www.swazin.com.
Wow, it's such a wonderful show. Thank you so much.
It is such a good show. We will be happy to have you visit our website.
Wonderful, well done, awesome.
Thank you for listening.
Here on the blogtalkradio.com. Now it is the Global EcoTalk Show.
How are you? Thank you for listening to the 49th episode Global EcoTalk Show on 8th August 2015. Today, we are going to have a strong woman. Let me say, most Nigerian women are strong. And that is one of the greatest things I admire. See, women in Nigeria have a difficult time, really. Violence, poverty, unemployment, corruption, and all. Still, they have such strong faith in God and the future. I'm a host, Eko Takashiba. We are honored to reach the present of Star of Hope Transformation Center in Lagos, Nigeria. Oladosin, Olados, Adebole. And she's going to talk about how I helped girls escape from Boko Haram. Odosi founded Star of Hope Transformation Center after training as one of the voices of our future respondents on World Pulse in 2009. According to her, all introduction, and that is what I'm reading now, Transformation Center works in four thematic areas, which are child sexual abuse, prevention, response, and treatment, gender-based violence, empowerment on street skills, and the center operates both online and offline. These are things which provide valuable materials on the highlighted subjects. With ample experience on SGO management, the center explores the avenue to sustain its activities. Okay, let us welcome our guest. And just for the second, let me call her. Okay, seems like the connection is not in an ideal state right now. So just hold on a second. Let me read a little more about her introduction. On the second day of January 2015, I began a new unending journey, Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism invited me to do a documentary on women in Nigeria. And I accepted to hashtag report women abuse and issues of access in Nigeria. We selected 9 states for the documentary film and head towards the northern Nigeria to document abduction, displaced women, and girls and poverty. The field trip ended on the January 30th, 2015, but the experience continued to haunt my night. Therefore, I decided to return to the northern part of Nigeria, where girls are especially hard hit for 6 years by Boko Haram insurgency. While I was interviewing the victims, my tears ran through over. But I decided that I would not only document their plight, I would solve the problem that is solvable by myself and my sisters. I promised the girls that I would come back to rescue them from the shackles of oppression by the dreaded Boko Haram terrorists. Okay, let me try one more time. And thank you for being patient. Just hold on a second. Hello?
Good morning, hello.
Oh, yes, I finally caught you. I tried and tried. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Oh, she just turned on the video. Oh, I can see her face. It's fantastic. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here and on the show. So I just briefly introduced you because we have a connection difficulty. But, okay, you can take over and introduce yourself. Will you tell us about yourself?
Okay, can you hear me very well?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay, my name is Olutosin Oladosu Adepowale. I am a Nigerian. I was born on December 20, 1972. I studied English language at the University of Lagos. I studied transformation. I studied leadership and entrepreneurship too. I am a citizen journalist. I write basically about abuse of women because I am a survivor of domestic violence. I work on issues of women and girls in Nigeria.
Wow. Okay. Where do I start now? How did Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism invite you to do a documentary on women in Nigeria?
Okay. I think September last year, I saw a call for journalists by Wole Soyinka Center. I saw it on World Pulse. So they want journalists, both print media, electronic media, and citizen journalists to apply for it on a Report Women project, to report an aspect of women issue in Nigeria. So I applied. I told them I'll be reporting on female genital mutilation because I was mutilated. And it was one thing that, and you know, yes, and in those days, you'll be mutilated while you watch. We go in group. So in group, maybe after school hours, if it is your turn, you go with them. And people will just come, you know, you and your friend or cousin will be asking, let me see your own. Let me see. Is it paining you? Is blood still coming? So, yeah, and it will be done by men, by herbally.
No.
Herbally. And, you know, our men was still better because before us, they usually use the shell of snail. You know a snail.
Oh, what is that?
Snail. They use the shell of snail. Yes.
Oh, no.
S-N-A-I-L. Very sharp snail. And the shell will be used to cut it. So, when I now got the opportunity to write about female genital mutilation, I then applied. When I applied, about 36 of us, we were selected to write on various topics. And we were trained for 3 days in Ekiti State. So I traveled to Ekiti for the training. So they now saw what we wrote, and they invited me. They invited me that they've gone to do some research. They know that I don't just write about women issues, but I go a step further to empower women. I don't just write that, oh, the woman was beaten and this and that, but I will go look for the women. We try to find a lasting solution to the problem, especially skill acquisition. Because there's something I discover. When a woman is facing battering or domestic violence, and there is no financial support, she will die. She will remain there. Because there is nowhere to run to.
The police doesn't come. Police doesn't come to rescue you. Nobody comes to rescue.
No support, no family support, no institutional support, no friend support, no societal support. When I faced mine, I just had my first baby. She was just 28 days old. If you read my story, my daughter was 28 days old, and I just told my husband, please, we have to carry this girl. I need to sleep because I had hypertension, high blood pressure. That was the genesis. My husband beat me to the point that I was rushed back to the hospital.
Oh,
my baby was 28 days old. So when I got to the doctor, his name is Dr. Taiwo Ode. Doctor now said, look at what happened to you. If you die today, your death will be assumed to be postpartum death. Nobody will believe that it was your husband that caused it. Because you are still bleeding. You are still bleeding. How can a man beat a woman who just delivered a baby? That was how I started. That was how I started fighting for women. Although today my husband has changed. My husband is even an advocate. But I have 2 daughters. I do not have a son. So when people look at me in the society, they just say, no. You have daughters, I'm so sorry for your husband. You don't have a son. Yes. So I now said, if I do not fight for women's rights, my children will live to fight again. It is better for the society to know me for who I am, recognize my children for who they are, so that our daughters will not continue fighting this battle. My mother fought this battle. She died fighting the battle.
Oh, wow.
So, if we don't fight today, our daughter will live to fight. So, Wale Soyinka invited me that they want me to do a film on women issues, what women face, issues of abuse, issues of access, I just took it off. They told me how many states. I said I was ready to go to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south, to cover the issues of women.
I want to go. Oh, you are so strong.
And also, for these women to know that if they raise their voice, there are people out there who will help them to lift this voice higher. So when Wale Soyinka invited me, I accepted. Because it was what I really wanted to do. So this is an opportunity to showcase the voices of women in Nigeria in various villages. And we agree, we are not going to speak to executive directors in their offices. We are not going to speak to president of association. We are going to the hamlets, the villages, the rural areas, the unreachable. Those women who are weeping are nobody to console them.
Oh,
so on the 2nd of January, I packed my bag and baggage and off. I went to Northern Nigeria first.
I'm so impressed. Oh, geez, you are such an inspiration. Oh, you should speak to everybody around the world, really. I would back you up. Oh, on top of
it. Thank you. You know, if you don't experience this, you may not really understand the issue. You have to experience it, to go through it.
I'm hearing you. I am totally with you because I was in Nigeria. I was beaten. Also, I became destitute. I have gone through so much, so I know what you're talking about. Oh, this is so beautiful. Okay, now, will you describe how was the trip ended when you decided to return to the northern part of Nigeria, where groups are especially hard hit for 6 years by Boko Haram insurgency?
I went straight to Jos because I had some contacts in Jos. Although Jos was relatively safe, I went there in January, but they were still bombing, even after December.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, I told them I want people who are in displaced camp.
Mm-hmm.
So first, they took us to some displaced people's camp that are mainly for royal fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And claims. Those who were once rulers of their communities, but they've been displaced. So these ones, they were kept in primary school compounds. It was a horrible sight. And they told me that it would not be good for me to come in here to video royal father sitting on the floor with the prince and princess here begging for food. I said, okay, with due respect, I think it is better for me to go to the market. So I went to another place where there are more than 200 children living in one house with a pastor and the wife taking care of these children.
200?
More than 215.
Really?
215 boys and girls, all below the ages of 18, below 18. All of them, both boys and girls. You know, the man was almost weeping. From there, we went to Holaza. In Holaza, we saw people from various states, different states from northern Nigeria. I told them I would like to talk with only girls and women. You know, in the course of interviewing them, I was weeping all through. I was weeping. You see women who saw their children being butchered, their husband being gone down. You see girls who work for weeks in order to get to Holaza community. Some work for days, walking on the road without food. Some of them escape. They don't know where their parents are. After the filming and the interview, I told the girls that I will come back again. Because there was only one thing they were hammering on. They were telling me, we want to go to school. We want to be educated. Because it was as if the government was not doing anything to take these children back to school. And they've been around for years, some 1 year, some 2 years, some fresh. For those who are fresh, when they look for those who, they look at those who have been there for 2 years, who did not go back to school. They said, if we don't go back to school in 2-3 years, we'll be married off. And I told them that after the recording of the film, I'll be going to 8 states. I will come back and put them in school.
So what happened?
So when I came back, it was 1 month film, 1 month recording. We were on film for 1 month.
Yes.
When I came back, I posted it on Facebook.
Yes.
That, you know, even as I was traveling, I was updating on Facebook. I'm in this village, I'm in this state, this is what I saw. When I now came back, I now said, please, I saw some girls at Holaza. And I told them that I would come back. I want my friends to help me because I do not have money to put them back in school.
Yes.
And my friends were saying, how will you raise this money? I can support one for only one term. I can support one for two terms. And then there was a particular woman called Jumoke Giwa. She lives in New Zealand. Jumoke now says, I can raise money in New Zealand. Let us team up together. And she will go back to Hulaza to meet the girl. It was like a dream come true.
Wow.
I called our lead person in the village, and she'll come back.
Wow.
You know, it was like a magic world. And do you know one thing, sister? When I got back to Olaza, one of the girls hugged me so tight. And she said, oh, you came back. I said, yes. I told you I would come back. And she said, many came. Many people promised. They never came back.
Oh, geez.
Oh. You are the only person who promised to come back to put us in school, and you came back.
Yeah.
And I was with him.
So, but what is the condition of those women now? Are you still keep on going there?
Yeah, even till last week, I still got some clothes on Facebook because there was one girl called Yusa. Yusa has only one cloth. I have met with them four times, and Yusa was only one cloth. And what I know is that the cloth has, I have a dream written on it. I have a dream. You know, you have a cloth that is customized. People can easily recognize each time you wear the cloth. So I met with them four times, four different occasions, from Lagos to Jos. She was wearing the same cloth. And I called her in. I said, Yusa, I would like to speak with you. Why is it that you wear only this one cloth? And she said, this is the only one complete set of cloth that I can wear outside. I do not have any other one that I can wear.
Okay. Okay.
I posted it on Facebook that this is Yusa. Yusa is my new friend. She has only one set of clothes.
Okay.
I have a friend in London. Her name is Sharon. Sharon now brought two braziers, two pants, two sets of dresses, and very washable pants that I should give it to Yusa. And one other, Nyansha from Zimbabwe, gave me two dresses. Esther from Nigeria gave me two dresses, and Toby gave me one. So I packaged it. I saw someone going to Jos this week on Tuesday. His name is Benji. I gave it to Benji, and he gave it to Usa for me, so that Usa will have another set of clothes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and also, when I was going back to Jos, I phoned the girl. What will you want me to buy for you? I will be coming to Jos. And they said, please, buy panties and pads, sanitary pads. I now said, great. I make rewashable sanitary pads. So I made 116. And I bought 80 pants. And I gave it to the girl.
Wow. Amazing. Oh, also said, oh, you are such an inspiration to all women around the world.
Thank you.
Now you mentioned about education for the girls. What sort of education do you think these girls need? And why? Go ahead.
When I asked them, they said they want to go back to formal education, they want to be able to speak English. They want to be able to communicate because it was only a few of them that could speak English language. So I now asked if there is any school in that community. I went to the public school in Olaza. The kids, they sit on the floor, no chair, nothing. And I said, is there any private school that would be affordable? I would like to meet the proprietor of any private school that would be affordable and be ready to absorb this place. Girls, you know there are some boys in Holaza, some displaced boys.
Yes.
That they came begging me to put them in school, but I work for girls.
So you
and I would really appreciate the world if the world can go back there and put the boys in school. So I now met with the proprietor of a school called Divine Favor Nursery and Primary School. And the man said the school fees is 10,000 naira, the sweater 1,500, the uniform 1,500, the book 3,000. He just gave me a list, a long list. And I'm begging, what can you do for us? And the man said, the way I look at the girls roaming about from morning till night, that it was even his intention to put them in lessons so that the girls will stop roaming about the village, because there are more than 50 girls. But that he is a new, he does not have the means, because he will have to pay the teachers. He now said, okay, I should pay half of the school fees for every girl. So instead of paying 10,000 naira, I should pay 5,000 naira for each girl. So that was how we decided to buy the school uniform, to buy the school sweater, to buy their notes, their mathematical set, their slippers, their school sandals, the school socks, everything each child needed. So we went to the market, we bought them, and we gave them to each child.
How did you raise the funds?
I told you that I met Jumoke Giwa. Jumoke Giwa is in New Zealand.
Yes.
And she said
the same person.
She supported 21, and some friends on Facebook supported 6 Ulaza girls. So all together we have 27 girls, but there are boys who still want to go back to school.
So is that a person from New Zealand? Did she ever come to see you?
Who?
That the person from New Zealand who has given you the money.
Yes.
Did she come to see you?
She did not. She sent the money into my account.
So you have never seen her?
I have. She visited Nigeria 2-3 times, and I've met her. I've worked with her before, because when I first started, I always organized a park empowerment program for women in Riverside communities. These are communities that can only be accessed by boat. There are no link roads, no electricity, no secondary school, no police station, nothing in those communities. So I always go to the community to train the women how to tie and dye, how to knit. I teach them how to make beads and all those things free of charge. So when I was doing that, she saw it on Facebook and said, on what cause? She asked me, how do you raise money to do what you do? I said, I do it by myself. I save my money, I sell my dye and dye, whatever I have from it, I use it to empower only very poor women. She said she will introduce me to Fumi Inyoda. She's a journalist in Nigeria and the founder of Change a Life in Lagos. So she introduced me to Fumi Yoda, and Fumi Yoda rented a small office for me and said, you need support, you cannot continue to work alone. And when I train a woman, she's very, very poor, Fumi Yoda will give her grant, maybe like 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 to start the business. So that was where I met Jumoke on World Pulse.
Oh, through the World Pulse.
Yes.
Okay. Now, sorry, Otosi, but it is almost the time to end the show. So, thank you for joining us, Otosi.
You're welcome.
It was so inspiration to me, and I'm sure for the listeners. We had such a wonderful time, and we strive for humanity. We are.
誠にありがとうございました。グローバルエコトークショーは第4週月曜日の午前5時生放送でお届けしております。参加されたい方、もっと詳しく知りたい方、 www.latin.org をご覧ください。またはメールでメッセージを contact@latin.com まで送ってくださいね。See you in 2 weeks at 5 a.m. Monday in Japan, 9 p.m. in Nigeria, 1 p.m. in PST. If you'd like to join us or want to know more about us, visit our website www.latin.com. Thank you for blogtalkradio.com for making this broadcast possible. Goodbye.